Good morning. My name is Riley, and I'm a sophomore at Lakota East High School. Please join me in our opening prayer. God of grace, you have given us minds to know you, hearts to love you, and voices to sing your praise. Fill us with your Spirit, that we may celebrate your glory and worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the most important things we do this morning is to share the love that we have been given unconditionally by God through Jesus. Let us share this love, joy, and peace with one another. Please join me in a time of prayer. Lord, we know you are merciful. We have been taught that you provide grace and mercy in spite of our behaviors and in spite of our sins. You are a good God that comes to those that need you, no matter what. And Lord, we need you now in our lives more than ever. We know that we are not perfect. We know that our sins are not hidden from you. We know that at times we sin knowing it's a sin. We are human, Lord, and while that's no excuse, we know you love us despite our human nature. Lord, we need you today to provide for us. We need your grace in our lives to provide strength because we are weak. We face temptations every day, and we wish we could say that we always walk away. We cannot do it alone anymore. We need you to give us the strength and provide us with the guidance to overcome these desires to sin. We need you to give us direction in darker times when we wonder if we can even face the next day. You can move the mountains that block our way in life. You can give us what we need in our lives. Lord, we ask of you to come into our lives and offer your grace. We are open to it and ready to accept it. Allow our hearts to always be focused on you. Lord, we know from the scripture that your grace is bestowed no matter what, so we just ask for it today. We may not always be perfect, but we strive to be better. Lord, help us be better. Help us see the clear, narrow path in front of us so we can walk in your ways and in your glory. In your name we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. My name is James, and I go to the West Freshman Building. Our first scripture reading today is from Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by his grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Hello, good morning. My name is Carrie. I'm a homeschooled sophomore here at Faith, and I'm here to talk about grace. Grace is such a crucial point to our faith. Without it, our belief as Christians crumble to dust. Trust me. I can't remember exactly when this happened, since the feeling fluctuated, but last year I started to feel lost. I had learned so much about God and my beliefs. Unfortunately, my faith didn't catch up. Christianity started to feel like head knowledge. I knew so much, but I couldn't explain to anyone why it mattered. I had never really wrestled with doubt before, so this hit me hard. Then, eventually, I came to a realization. In all my learning, I'd forgotten the basics. God's love and God's grace had been completely erased from my mind. The foundations of our faith had been forgotten. I thank God I never truly lost a connection with him. Even though I felt my closeness to God would vary rapidly from day to day, God never left. He was the anchor that kept me there. And last year and this year, God has really shown his grace in two distinct ways, and I'd like to share them with you. The first one is his sacrifice. One of my teachers in my classes this year told me this, and I wish I'd written down the direct quote, but an indirect quote will have to do. She told us that God was the first God in the history, and really the only in our history of the world, who sacrificed for his people and not the other way around. In the ancient world, sacrifices were essential to keep favor with the gods, and even then, there was no guarantee they wouldn't just wreak havoc on you, and mostly just for fun. But God offered his sacrifice, Jesus Christ, to us because of his love and grace and no other reason. Ancient gods also needed sacrifices and needed humans. God needs no one. He isn't reliant on us. We are completely reliant on him. But he requires no sacrifice. His grace covers a multitude of sins, and our sacrifices are nothing compared to him. His grace is truly sufficient, as he says. And the second way he shows our love is by adopting us into their family. The verse I'm about to share you is my absolute favorite verse in the Bible, but I found that no one really seems to know it. I'd like to ask you, congregation, how many of you are familiar with Hebrews 2:11? Not many, not one, so. I have never seen this verse outside of my own Bible or heard this verse outside of my own lips, but it's such a powerful verse. I hope it blesses you as much as it blessed me. Hebrews 2:11 says, "So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters." Not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, calls us his siblings, and he feels no shame about it. And grace, that's what it all comes back to, God's grace and God's love. I wish to leave you with these three things. The first, God's grace and love covers anyone, and it stays consistent through trial. Jesus finds no shame in us. We are adopted into the family. The second is that God's grace is a gift we cannot earn, which is demonstrated by his sacrifice for us. And the third is, don't forget, in the searching or the shame or whatever, don't forget God's love and God's grace for you. If you can hold onto these two foundations, I can't promise it'll be easy in life, but I can promise that it'll be good, because I didn't promise that. God's grace did. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jenna Nowicki, and I attend Plains Junior School. Our second scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me.
Hello, my name is Luke Shambo, and I am a sophomore at Lakota East High School. So, how many of you have ever been asked a question with seemingly endless answers? Probably some of you. I bet that sometime someone, joking or serious, has probably asked you the age-old question, "What is the meaning of life?" It's really not a bad question, but it comes off as a little humorous because it's impossible to answer in one sentence. There's so many of these complex questions to exist. And I believe one of those to be the question, what is grace? It is one of the best questions to ask, but sometimes one of the hardest to answer. There are so many details and parts and portions and sections of grace, and it's so vast and great that it can't be contained to a simple sentence-long answer. Any answer has to contain some sort of foundation of what you believe about grace, and I always found my foundation to be forgiveness. I lay this as my foundation because when grace is difficult to show, oftentimes forgiveness is even harder sometimes. I can guarantee forgiveness is probably one of the most relatable topics to everyone in this building today. Just as we have been wronged, we have wronged others. But we like to turn a cold shoulder to forgiveness because though it is a great opportunity to show the grace of God, it can also spring out the selfishness within us. One of my favorite parables for this situation is the parable of the unforgiving servant, found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. The parable tells of a servant who has a massive debt to a great king. The king threatens to sell the servant and his entire family into slavery if he cannot pay the debt. However, the king mercifully forgives the servant, cancels his debt, and lets him walk free. The servant later encounters a man who owes him a much smaller debt, but the man cannot pay it off. The servant then becomes enraged, chokes the man, demands immediate payment, and even goes as far as throwing him into debtor's prison. Now, I hope that none of us have big money on the line or large debts to cover, but this message carries through all the same. The servant received grace and forgiveness from the king, but he forgot about that grace as soon as he walked out of the building. We may not like to admit it, but we do the same things. We can feel so wronged and that we don't even care about what has been done for us, but only what has been done against us. There's a popular saying in life, forgive and forget, that as long as define the view of how we go through the process of forgiveness. I like to flip that statement in a few ways, starting with the statement, forget to forgive. And this is what really describes what we often do. But I like to take that one step further and make the statement, remember to forgive. It can come off as a little backwards or confusing, but just hear me out. Forgiveness is something that should be shown in every way in every situation possible, but at the end of the day, it comes down to a choice. We tend not to forgive simply because forgiveness and what comes with it is just viewed as too difficult or just strain. Now, nobody said this forgiveness would be easy, but remembering can make it a whole lot easier. Not only can we remember what people have done for us in the past and how we have been forgiven, but we must remember what Jesus did for us. We must remember how he died on the cross and the everlasting forgiveness he bestowed upon us. Don't just remember in the times when you need forgiveness, but remember every day. Remember in the morning, remember in the afternoon, and remember in the evening. This is what remember to forgive means. If you remember what Jesus did for you in the past, the future suddenly becomes a whole lot easier. And so I challenge you today to not simply forgive and forget, but to remember. Remember what Jesus did, and always remember to reflect the grace of our Savior. Thank you.
My name is Ben. I'm a seventh grader at Liberty Junior High School. Our third scripture reading today is from Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Good morning. My name is Max. I'm a senior here, and I go to East. Grace is something we all need in life, but just don't think we may deserve it. I like to think of the acronym for grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 reads, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This means we don't have to do anything to deserve grace. We just have to believe in God's grace for us. For me, I didn't realize it until one of our amazing adult leaders, Tim Oldfield, asked me to do a personal testimony of grace for Youth Sunday. Grace has come into my life in many forms, from patience to forgiving me for not making the wise choices. Every Thursday night, back when I was in elementary school, a few of us would come to church while our parents were at choir rehearsal, and someone would watch us while we all hung out. And we had fun, but there were some times when we'd get a little too crazy and things would get out of control. But instead of the person who was watching us going and telling our parents we were misbehaving, they would sit us down and talk to us and help us get back to the right state of mind, where we would go back and to the fun and games, but stay calm when we did it. Another example of grace is when in VBS, it would be getting down to the last 2 days of VBS, and some of us would be getting tired and worn out, and maybe a little cranky. But our crew leaders, who were probably tired also, did not snap at us and yell at us. Instead, they showed grace and were very patient with us and would help us get through the last 2 days. These are just a couple examples where grace has been shown to me in my life. You see, I may not have deserved it, but because I am a believer, it is automatically extended to me through Christ's death on the cross. Grace isn't earned by any of us. It is given to us by faith in God and the belief of his son's sacrifice on the cross. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Nate Nowicki, and I go to Lakota West, and I'm a sophomore. As the ushers come forward to collect this morning's tithes and offerings, hear these words from Deuteronomy 16. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given to you.
Hello, my name is Grady Wilson. I'm an eighth grader and I go to Mason. God's grace is for everyone. Jesus died on the cross for all mankind. In his poem, Deborah Ann expresses what God's grace is about beautifully. Grace restores the broken pieces, fills in the cracks, smooths the creases. Grace heals. The heart that aches mends the wounds, patches the scrapes. Grace renews. The mind unraveled reinforces the thoughts that have been tangled. Grace reaffirms the soul, wanting provides the strength, brings the calming. Grace restores, heals, and renews. Grace always comes to the rescue.
Good morning. My name is Tim Oldfield. I am not a graduating senior, but I do have the privilege to work with these amazing teens every week, as well as our amazing volunteers, Victoria Skeppel, Jim Bussey, and Rob Meredith, Becky Klunk, Carol DeJean. I think I got them all. But as you can tell, we are privileged to be here with you today. Let's give a hand to these kids, these teens, for stepping up. They just did awesome and pulled this together, so we're grateful. I don't want to forget Miss Mary Shambo in the back hiding. She was key as well in helping in Chad Tovan next door. What we would like to share with you now is how we wrap up our weekly meetings. So if I could ask every teen to stand up and just line up in front, we're going to do a quick example of what we do every week to worship our God in closing. There is an army of them, and no, not all of them are here today. But as you can see, we have quite the group. So one key thing that we do every week is At the end of teen group, we circle up. We purposely leave a gap in the middle for Jesus. We cross our hands and we say our prayer out. This is where we would take prayer requests, where we would also take praises, and we would fellowship together. So I would like to ask you to join us in our final prayer and blessing for this morning. The peace of God be in your heart. The grace of God be in your words. The love of God be in your hands. The joy of God be in your soul. And in the song that your life sings. Amen. Thank you so much. And you are dismissed. Thank you. Thank you.